before Jesus steps out on a cloud and the trump of God is going to sound. I was thinking about it this week. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." And that word shout in the Greek text, the word is kalousma. It's a military command. It has the connotation on it of a general calling his army to come to attention. Praise God. It's not going to be long. We're going to see Jesus. Hallelujah. Could you give Jesus Christ a hand of praise this morning? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, praise team. Magnificent, magnificent singing and anointing. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to the book of Leviticus? Leviticus chapter 14, and I'm going to read, for clarity's sake, a little longer portion of Scripture than I normally do today. And I promise you, I won't take you verse by verse. I'll get you out of here before Good Morning America comes on. But Leviticus chapter 14, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 14, actually. I believe I told the guys on the overhead verses 19 through 32, but I believe I'm going to begin reading at verse 14. That's Leviticus chapter 14, beginning at verse 14. And would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? What a beautiful congregation you are this morning. And as we read this, I'm going to ask your patience and bear with me, because you, in reading this, you may think, what on earth is the relevance of all this to me that we're about to read? Well, if the Lord helps me, there is a beautiful relevance to every one of us that's contained in the passage we're reading today. Leviticus 14, beginning at chapter 14. "And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil, and put it into the palm of his own left hand. And the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand, and shall sprinkle of the oil with his finger seven times before the Lord. And the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the blood of the trespass offering. And the remnant of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall pour upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, and the priest shall make an atonement to him before the Lord. And the priest shall offer the sin offering and make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed from his uncleanness. And afterward he shall kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the meat offering upon the altar. And the priest shall make an atonement for him, and he shall be clean. And if he be poor and cannot get so much, then he shall take one lamb for a trespass offering to be waived, to make an atonement for him, and one-tenth a deal of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering and a log of oil. And two turtle doves or two young pigeons, such as he is able to get, the one shall be a sin offering, the other a burnt offering. And he shall bring them on the eighth day for his cleansing unto the priest, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And the priest shall take the lamb of the trespass offering and the log of oil, and the priest shall wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And he shall kill the lamb of the trespass offering, and the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And the priest shall pour of the oil into the palm of his own hand, and the priest shall sprinkle with his right finger some of the oil that is in his left hand seven times before the Lord. And the priest shall put of the oil that is in his hand upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the place of the blood of the trespass offering. And the rest of the oil that is in the priest's hands he shall put upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, to make an atonement for him before the Lord. And he shall offer one of the young turtle doves, or of the young pigeons, such as he can get, even such as he is able to get, the one for a sin offering, the other for a burnt offering, with the meat offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed before the Lord. This is the law of him in whom is the plague of leprosy, whose hand is not able to get that which pertaineth to his cleansing." And I want to preach for a few moments this morning on the subject of the cleansing of a leper. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you today for the presence of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for the great salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. And Lord, I ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit today that you would help me to elucidate to your people the glory of the great atonement we have through Christ and him crucified. Lord, I would ask today for the anointing to bring any lost soul home, Lord Jesus. Reach out and save them today, Lord, by faith in your precious blood. And Lord, we know we'll give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory, for we can do nothing outside of you, Lord Jesus. And we'll not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for whatever you do this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Earlier this week, I was watching a particular preacher over TV, and at the time, I didn't realize who he was until the conclusion of his telecast. And I come to realize that sometime back, Brother Mike, back there on the soundboard, had told me of this gentleman and sent me a tape of his. He's what's called a word of faith preacher. And he told this story, and I'm not making this up. I heard this myself. I wish I were making it up. But I heard this myself, that in an attempt to increase his faith, because he wanted to eventually be able to raise somebody from the dead. Yeah, that was his goal. He wanted his faith to become great enough that he could raise somebody from the dead. And so his dog had passed away. And so to start off at a lower level of faith and build himself up, he said he thought, well, I'll start with an animal. And he tried to raise his dog from the dead. Of course, it didn't happen. But to show that he had faith, he tied a collar around the dog's neck and chained it up and began to drag the animal around his front yard as waiting for it to spring to life and start to walk. Now, I want you to think of that for a moment. It is. It's laughable. It's sad. Because that has absolutely nothing to do with true biblical faith. Nothing at all. But anyway, this particular gentleman, he was the one that I had tuned in unknowingly. And he preached all about, or I should say all around, the gospel of Jesus Christ. He clearly identified mankind's problem, and all of mankind, every man, woman, boy, and girl born, comes into this world a sinner, alienated from God. Why? Because we are the fallen sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. Through their bloodline, sin is passed on. Sin is passed on. We come into this world sin benighted and sin bound. And there is also, as we come into this world, a yearning deep within mankind's soul to be made right with God. To have that separation of sin that keeps us from God taken away. And that's what causes mankind, that yearning to be right before God. It causes mankind to go down every avenue in the world to try and assuage the shame and the guilt, and the horror of being under the judgment of Almighty God. That's how we come into this world, with that type of weight in our soul and spirit, and that kind of yearning, because God created us to have fellowship with Him. We did not lose that in the fall. We lost our proper standing with God through the sin of Adam and Eve, and it's passed down to us. But mankind did not lose that original intent that God implanted in him to have fellowship. And this preacher was offering up all kind of, he was identifying problems that mankind had. And he said they can only be overcome by faith. And that much is true. But what kind of faith? He never offered a solution of any kind. He never specifically identified any type of faith. Only telling the hearer that you need more faith. You need more faith. May I submit to you this morning, my brothers and sisters, there's only one type of faith that Almighty God honors, and that is faith that is placed in Jesus Christ and what He did at the cross. You can believe and have faith in anything you want to have faith in, but there's only one faith that will deliver mankind from this horrible problem of the weight of sin and the loneliness and degradation of being separated from a holy God that mankind was created to have fellowship with. And what I found somewhat disheartening was in the middle of this pastor's message, they broke away, and his wife comes on a set, and she has her daughter with her. And they called this section Life Bits. Life Bits was the name of it. And I thought, what is this? And as I went on and watched the telecast proceeding, do you know what this mother had brought her daughter on? Now, this is in the middle of a Christian, supposedly gospel telecast. Her daughter had come on to give the ladies hints on how to better arrange the drawers in their kitchen. Now, think of that. I tell you, my brothers and sisters, that breaks my heart. Because there's enough Rachel Rays and Bobby Flays in the world. You can tune on any station you want and find out how to better cook a turkey and how to better manage your kitchen drawer. And thank God for the Rachel Rays and the Bobby Flays. They make me so hungry sometimes I want to eat my TV. But that's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Learning how to cook a turkey or arrange your drawers has nothing to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what's so sad about it. Because mankind is crying out today as the Holy Spirit is moving over this world. There is a cry that is arising from the fallen sons and daughters of Adam and Eve who are realizing something's wrong. Something's not right. And maybe they can't properly identify it. But it is the mission and call of the Church of Jesus Christ to stand and to let them know your answer for what you're feeling. For what has your soul plagued? The loneliness, the feeling of separation, the feeling of lostness, the feeling of being under the judgment of God can be dealt with because Jesus Christ has given His life and shed His blood on the cross of Calvary as a sacrifice, taking your place and taking my place, and that is the only deliverance from this sin problem. There is no other, and mankind through his own effort cannot extricate himself from the clutches and the grip of sin that's on his life. Andy, you'll probably bear witness with this. One of the baseball players, I was in the World Series this week. They was interviewing him. And I thought, praise God for what he said. I forget his name. Maybe Andy or one of you know. He hit a home run in the game the other night. Texas Ranger. I forget his name. Where's Austin at? Austin, what's his name? Who? Hamilton. Yeah, Hamilton. Hamilton. What's his first name? Josh. Josh Hamilton. Yeah, that's it. They were interviewing Josh Hamilton. And God has delivered this young man from drugs and alcohol. He had such a strong witness for Jesus Christ. Man, he blessed my soul. He preached the cross. Right there from a dugout, this brother preached the cross. And he said, I was an alcoholic and I was a drug addict. And he said, I'm not denouncing it, but he said, they put me through every program in the world trying to get me off of it. And he said, do you know what people need? He said, their life's not going to change until they give it over to Jesus Christ and put their faith in him. Then they'll find deliverance. I thought, my Lord, put him on TV rather than hearing the lady rearrange the kitchen instruments or whatever. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. Hallelujah. Only Jesus Christ can change the heart of man. We're hopelessly bound by sin and we can't change ourselves. I don't care how many programs you go through. I don't care how noble the effort of some doctor or psychologist. You can't make this horrible feeling of being bound by sin go away through pills or through counseling. It takes a total change of the inward man, and only Jesus Christ through the power of His Holy Spirit can effect that change that man needs. As we look at our text this morning, you may have thought, what on earth has Pastor read to us today? Let me take you back for a moment to biblical times. Like no other disease in the Bible, leprosy is such a clear example of what sin does to the spirit. The disease of leprosy once it was contracted, and once it is contracted, and there's no known cure for it, it literally eats the flesh and bone right off of the human body with nothing to stop it. Slowly by slowly, day by day, the degradation and the declension of the human body increases with nothing to stop it. It's like that's what sin does to the human soul and spirit. It slowly eats away and makes mankind so far below what God created him to be. It's a miserable existence to live bound by sin. But praise God, God gave us a cure for sin. And it's not a cure, it's the cure. It's by placing faith exclusively in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. You see, the leper in the Bible lived a life of horrible loneliness. And that under this Levitical law that we read from today, given in the book of Leviticus, it was said that a leper, once he came within 50 feet of anybody, he would have to cry out, unclean, 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 three times. He could not even go around his family, he or she could not. They could not ever know the touch, the loving touch of a relative or another human being. And that's such a perfect picture of what sin does to mankind spiritually. It isolates mankind from God, his creator. And it slowly eats away at the spirit, day by day, slowly. But in this passage we read this morning, it's a beautiful example of what our high priest, Jesus Christ, has done for us. In this scripture that we read this morning, you see what I call the three great works of the grace provided through Christ and what he did on the cross. And in some form or fashion, all of the benefits and their multitudinous dimension that Jesus Christ purchased for us on the cross are found in these three functions that the priest did when a leper was cleansed. The high priest would first, the Bible tells us, a lamb would have to be offered up. One can clearly see that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God offered up for our sins. And then once the lamb was slain, the priest would put blood in his left hand. And he was told to dip his right finger in it and apply it to the ear, the thumb, and the toe of the leper that was to be cleansed. And then to shake that blood on hyssop seven times before the Lord. And you may think, what on earth does that have to do with me? Let me tell you. Let me say it again. Jesus Christ is the only answer for sin. We have a high priest that can cleanse the leprosy that plagues the soul of humanity. And only he can do it. Only he did it. Jesus Christ is the answer. Hallelujah. He's not an answer. He's the answer. And I'm going to tell you how is the answer. Because he took our place on the cross. He paid the penalty that you and I should have paid on the cross. He met God's standard of 100% perfection. And therefore, by the giving and the shedding of his blood on the cross of Calvary, it was perfect, spotless, sinless blood, which a sacrifice of blood is required because the life of the flesh is in the blood. And it had to be a perfect sacrifice. And Jesus Christ is and was that perfect sacrifice, giving his blood on the cross of Calvary, and God proving that that sacrifice was perfect and acceptable by 3 days later raising him from the dead. Hallelujah. So Jesus is the only way to halt the horrible plague of leprosy, the sin of leprosy that plagues the soul of mankind. And when that priest applied the blood to the ear, the thumb, and the toe, what's the Bible telling us there? First, and then he would sprinkle seven times. Seven is God's number for completion. I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus Christ pronounces you clean, you're clean. It doesn't matter what mankind says about you. It doesn't matter what the church says about you. When your high priest, Jesus Christ, declares you clean, you're clean. And he sanctifies and cleanses your hearing, everything that comes into your ear. He sanctifies and cleanses your doings by placing the blood on your hand, whatever your hand finds to do. The Bible says, do it as unto the Lord. And then placing the blood on the big toe. That speaks of our walk with Jesus Christ. And that now through His precious shed blood, we have been redeemed, we have been turned around, and we now walk holy before Him through faith in His shed blood. Somebody give Him a hand of praise today. And after the blood was applied, then the priest would take a log of oil and he would go through the same process, placing the oil in his left hand, then putting his finger in it and placing the oil over the blood on those three points of the body, the ear, the thumb, and the foot, the big toe. What does that have to do with? That speaks of our sanctification and our continued living before God. That's where most of the church is missing it this morning. Most of the church does not know how to live for God. They think if you go through 40 days of purpose or you go to a counseling session and hear some, regurgitate all of the ills of your life to another poor, sin-benighted human being, that that's going to set you free, and it will not do it. That's not how you live for God. You live for God the same way you got in, through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that oil being applied over the blood speaks of the power of the Holy Spirit in the sanctification process. In other words, in how we live for God. Nobody can live for God in their own power. This is a divine, supernatural walk we have with Jesus Christ. And that when the blood is applied, He sends the mighty Holy Spirit into our hearts and lives to turn us around, because we can't turn ourselves around. The theologians call it regeneration. The Bible calls it the washing of the Word through regeneration. In other words, mankind cannot change his life. The alcoholic cannot take away the craving for alcohol, but Jesus can, hallelujah. The poor, sin-benighted person cannot make that horrible feeling of being under the judgment of God go away. But through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in and tells that person, now you're right with God, now you're cleansed, and you are a child of God. Glory to His name. And then the remainder of the oil that was in the priest's hand, the Bible said he would take it and pour it out over the one that had just been cleansed. Now think of that. What's that speak of? That's the third work of grace. Salvation, sanctification. Third work of grace, the mighty baptism in the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. That leper, once he was cleansed by the blood and pronounced clean by the high priest, the oil of sanctification was applied, and then the Spirit without measure was ultimately given. Praise God. This is a glorious supernatural life we live. Jesus did not cleanse us to just let us sit around and do nothing. He sent His Holy Spirit to empower us. He baptizes people in the Holy Spirit to empower them to serve Him and to live this supernatural life. And then finally, the high priest would turn and pronounce the leper clean. Glory to God. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. What on earth does that mean? It simply means this. Jesus Christ, through His atoning work on the cross, not only became our sacrifice and our substitute, He became our high priest, our mediator between us and God. And that when we come to Him in faith and place faith exclusively in Jesus Christ, and what He did at the cross. And the portals of glory. When that sinner comes, I don't care how ensconced and how bound by sin a person is, in seconds time, Jesus Christ will deliver them. He can set them free from alcohol. He can set them free from lust. He can set them free from any sin known under the sun. And He has the power to do it. And He has paid the price to have it done. That's why God will not honor anything else. No matter how noble the effort, no matter how intense the effort, you'll never lay your head on your pillow at night knowing there's peace between you and God until you give your life and place your faith in Christ and what He did for you at the cross. Because then that allows the Holy Spirit to come into an individual's life. And the Holy Spirit will make changes. Oh, what a change He can make. Oh, what a change He will make. Changes you and I could never make in our own life by going to 1,000 seminars, going to 1,000 psychologists, going through a million 40 days of purpose. That change will not come until Jesus Christ enters that individual's life and the power of the Holy Spirit fills their life. But at the conclusion of this ceremony that we read this morning, that high priest would turn before the whole tribe of Israel and announce, this person was once a leper, now they're clean. Praise God. No longer when they have to come within 50 feet of someone, they no longer have to cry out, unclean, unclean, unclean. They're now cleansed by the power of the blood through the working of the Holy Spirit. That's what this ceremony so beautifully represented. Because without Jesus, we're all lepers. Before you came to know Him spiritually, you were a leper. If you don't know Him this morning, you're a spiritual leper. And that horrible feeling in your soul if you don't know Jesus, your soul is crying out, unclean, unclean, unclean. Nothing can make it go away except a right relationship with God. That horrible feeling. That's what drives people to drink. That's what drives them to do drugs. Try to seek some kind of solace and peace in everything in this world. And there is where the church is failing people miserably when we don't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because learning how to rearrange your kitchen drawers is not going to help you too awfully much. Learning how to better cook a turkey is not going to help you too awfully much. What mankind needs is to know and be taught how to be right with God and how to live for God. And that is so simply done, but God will not move from His system. Mankind may try, as I said, with all of intensified efforts to get it right before God, but we can't do it through human works. See, that's the rub of the cross with much of mankind. Because mankind is so full of pride, he doesn't want to admit, I'm a spiritual leper and I can't cleanse myself. But through faith in Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross, that cleanses mankind. That perfect, precious, spotless blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. When faith is placed in it, Jesus Christ, our high priest in heaven, get this, stands up and announces the name of that sinner who has just placed faith in what he did on the cross before the hosts of heaven. And he said, they're now clean. He says, they're now clean. They're now washed in the blood. They're now my son and my daughter. And he takes that sinner and presents them as clean before Almighty God the Father. And in effect, literally says to God the Father, here is my son Ned, who has just placed his faith in my shed blood. He is now clean and holy and righteous before you, Father, and I present him unto you as one of our own. And God looks from the throne of heaven and sees that Jesus Christ has just presented that lost sinner unto the portals of glory. And he said, because they have placed faith in your shed blood, my son, I count them as righteous, I count them as holy, and I adopt them as my very own. And he turns to the Holy Spirit at that moment in time and says, go now and enter their life. Whoa, glory to God! That's what happens when a sinner comes to Jesus Christ. And we're all lepers until we find Jesus. That eating away at the human soul goes on 24/7, 365. As sin slowly robs the life right out of humanity, right out of a human being. But praise God, there's an antidote. And there's only one. I feel the Holy Spirit telling me this morning to bear down hard on this. There's only one antidote to the problem, the blood of Jesus Christ. And he said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Hallelujah. Excuse my emotion this morning. But my Lord, sometimes I shout over Ohio State chasing a pig's belly around the football field. I can sure shout over being washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Having my sins washed away. Hallelujah! Being filled. and knowing that there's peace between me and God. It's the greatest feeling in the world. Hallelujah. And that poor leper who was so isolated, so removed from normal life, really having no life, is the proper way to say it. That leper had no life. That's why Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Jesus ain't about giving out Cadillacs and money. But he's all about making people right before God the Father and giving them real life. He will do that. Praise God. He may bless you with this world's material goods. If he does, praise God for it. But the greatest thing Jesus does and is, he is our sin bearer. He is our sin cleanser. He is our high priest. And only he can pronounce us clean. Only he can pronounce us clean. You can go through your 40 days of purpose and still be just as dirty as you were before you went into it. You can go to a psychologist's couch and have him give you enough pills to numb your mind that you can't even think logically. And still you're under this horrible weight of sin. But when you come to Jesus, when you come to Jesus, he'll change everything for you. And only he can do it. I know there are some who, they hate hearing stuff like this because man so wants to believe through his own efforts, through his own programs, can change himself. And it cannot be done. You cannot mesh psychology with the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are polar opposites of one another. They are polar opposites of one another. It's either all Jesus or none of Jesus. That's how God views it. There is no middle ground on it. And mankind, because he in his sin nature wants so bad to be able to say, I did something. I achieved something through my own power and human effort that gained me a victory over sin. And it will never happen. It will never happen. Only through faith in Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross. That's the only way for us to get clean before God. And I love this picture of the high priest when he would shake the hyssop dipped in blood 7 times. 7 is God's number for total completeness. In other words, what the scripture's telling us is that when the high priest pronounces you clean, you're clean. You're totally clean before God in every capacity. And that hyssop, it is believed that the hyssop tree was what the crosses were manufactured out of. And that the leaves of that hyssop, whenever they were snapped and broken, they released a sweet-smelling fragrance into the air. Praise God. The blood of Jesus, as ugly and as horrible as Calvary was to the natural eye, and what that the evil of what was happening on the cross, the Bible says it was a sweet-smelling savor unto God the Father. Why? Because it was a perfect sacrifice. Because it was perfect in every way, what Jesus did on that cross. Let me tell you something. For God to have any type of relation to mankind, that individual has to be 100% perfect. I want that to sink in. That's why when mankind says, well, I try to be good, I go to church at Easter and Christmas. I try. I'm trying. And then man goes into relativism. Well, I have never murdered anybody. I have never robbed a bank. So I'm better than so-and-so. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. That means they've fallen short of God's standard. What is God's standard? 100% perfection in every area of our lives. That's what God requires before he can relate to us. That means if we've ever broken at any time in our life, even one of the Ten Commandments, even one at any time in our life, that means you've fallen short of God's standard. Because those Ten Commandments reveal the holiness and the perfection that God requires if he's going to have a relationship to an individual. Leaves you feeling pretty hopeless, don't it? But hold on with me for just a moment. That's why Jesus came. Hear me. That's why Jesus came. He didn't have to. From the foundation of the world, the Bible said he was the Lamb of God slain. That means when God was framing this world and the planets, Jesus was there and he knew that someday I'm going to have to take on the form of man and become one of them to redeem them because they're going to fall. They're going to fall short of my requirement. You see, that's what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. They lived in a perfect, pristine world until they disobeyed God. And now, because of their sin, it was passed down, is passed down to all of us, even to this very hour. But the Bible tells us where the first Adam failed, the second Adam didn't fail. That's why Jesus came, to be our second Adam. And where the first Adam failed in sin before God, the second Adam, Jesus Christ, did not fail. He lived in perfection for 33 years before God the Father. And he willingly took the cross up Calvary's hill. Nobody could have made him do it. He didn't go to the cross because of some penalty, because he ran askance of Roman law. No. He knew that somebody had to pay the penalty for sin. And the penalty that was required for that sin meant the person had to be 100% perfect for the sacrifice to be acceptable to God. He embraced, if you will, that cross for you and I. And he took it up Calvary's hill and hung there 6 hours in mind-bending agony. And I'll submit to you today the nails that were through those hands and feet, those precious hands and feet, those were the hands that framed the universe. He did not have to stay there. He chose to stay there because he knew only a perfect sacrifice would be acceptable to God. And he willingly chose to stay there because he loved you and I. He knew what he was doing on that cross would be the only way that sin-benighted, hell-bound man would ever have a chance at being made right and restored to right relationship with God. And when he bowed his head at 3 o'clock in the afternoon from the top of Calvary's hill and said, "It is finished." The most powerful prepositional phrase ever spoken, "It is finished." Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. He was perfect. Jesus met God's standard of perfection. That's why faith in what he did on the cross is the only way for us to ever obtain that perfection. I'm starting to close now. Give me just a few more minutes. Listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. It's of eternal importance. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All is made new." If any man be in Christ, old things are passed away. All is made new. With God requiring 100% perfection before he can relate to mankind, God, in his loving mind, created this system of sacrifice, sending his Son on the basis of faith alone, not human performance, because human performance can never meet God's standard of perfection. But one, that's why Jesus came and took on the form of man. He met that standard of perfection. And now, when you place your faith, by faith alone, not human works, in what he did on the cross, God says, "I will impute unto you the righteousness of what my Son did." My Lord, you think, how can y'all get so excited all the time about the cross? If you understand it, there's nothing else in the Bible to be excited about. That message runs from Genesis to Revelation in some form. We've read it today here in the book of Leviticus. My Lord, the cross is everything. Now, I'm not talking about two wooden sticks You can turn the worship of the cross itself into some kind of iconic worship if you're not careful. I'm talking about who hung on that cross and the work he did on that cross. He was the Son of God. He was the perfect sacrifice. He shed his blood and he rose from the grave and he's coming again. Hallelujah. But the moment a person places their faith exclusively in what Jesus did on that cross, God counts them on the basis of their faith alone as being perfect then. Now that's something to shout about. Now when God looks at us because of our faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, when God looks at that individual now, he counts them as having met his standard on the basis of their faith in his Son. That's glorious. That's so glorious. To think that he's looking down on every blood-washed child, everyone who has their faith in Christ and what he did at the cross. He's looking on them as being 100% perfect this morning. Even though in this flesh, we're not. My Lord. Well, I'm still a mess. I'm just less of a mess than I used to be. He's still working on me, praise God. And he's going to work on me till the trump sounds and we go to meet him in the air. But then he counts you as being perfect. He counts you as having met all of his standards on the basis of your faith in that cross. Let me sum it all up to say it this way. The leprosy's healed when you come to the cross of Jesus Christ. And the high priest, if you come to that cross exclusively, laying down psychology, laying down 40 days of purpose, laying down whatever some church or some preacher told you, it's the cross. It's the cross where cleansing takes place. It's the cross where deliverance from sin occurs. There is nowhere else to go to. And when that person comes to the cross of Christ and places their faith in Jesus and what he did on that cross, God then counts that individual as having met every one of his standards. That's why we fall so in love with Jesus. That's why when you understand what he did for you on the cross, you'll fall in love with him because you realize he didn't have to do it. One of the greatest songs, I believe, about the cross ever written, and there's many, praise God for, is that song by Ronnie Henson. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. It was his love for you and me that held him there. It's easy to fall in love with somebody who's willing to do all that for you. To save us from the clutches of sin, from an eternity in hell. That's why Jesus came. And he is the high priest. He is the high priest. He became the great high priest. And if leprosy is eating away at your soul this morning, the leprosy of sin. Again, I don't care how many pills they give you. They can't make that numb feeling of not being right with God go away. That's the problem. Sin is the problem. Sin is the problem. In some form or fashion, every malady that mankind has, be it physical, mental, emotional, whatever, it stems from sin. It stems from sin. I'm talking original sin. Sin we can't extricate ourselves from. Sin we can't make go away. And mankind doesn't like to hear that. That's why people will lay on a psychologist's couch for hours and pay them thousands of dollars and get no relief from it. And I'm not trying to be unkind here, but you see these commercials for all these mind-bending drugs that they try to hand out for depression. And you hear the disclaimers that they run on these commercials. Like for Abilify. You know, where they tell you, could cause thoughts of suicide, could cause your hair to fall out, your feet to fall off. I mean, I'm being facetious, but my Lord, who wants to take something like that? Especially when it's not going to help you anyway. Because, hear me on this, and you may disagree with me, but I can't help that. I know it's right. All of the depression in this world today is not caused by chemical imbalance. It's caused by sin. And that person living under the judgment of Almighty God. Think of that. Living your life every day under a death sentence. It's enough to drive anybody crazy. And that's how the sinner lives every day of his life until he's right with God. And I have never seen a one yet. When they got right with God, they didn't come off all medication and lived a glorious, victorious, overcoming life because they placed their faith in Jesus Christ. That judgment they knew they were under was no more, and they were delivered from sin's power. Glory to God. There's power in the blood of Jesus. Power to save, power to heal, power to deliver. And it's the only power in the world that can do that. Musicians, would you come? I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you right with God? Are you right with God? What do you mean, preacher? I mean, I'm asking you. Do you know your life is pleasing to God and that you're 100% perfect before Him? Do you have that knowledge in your mind beyond a shadow of a doubt? If you don't, then you're not right with Him. Because when the Holy Spirit comes in, the Bible says He bears witness. That means He just continually tells you, the blood of Jesus has made you righteous. The blood of Jesus has made you perfect. The blood of Jesus has delivered you from sin. It's not to say you'll never have a difficult time or go through a tough situation. That's life. That's going to happen to everybody. But when the Holy Spirit comes in because of faith in Jesus and what He did on the cross, He continually reminds you and gives you the greatest peace that could ever be given an individual. He tells you everything's okay between you and God. And if everything's okay between you and God, that means that heaven is your ultimate home. God forbid if you should contract some disease and die, that means you immediately go to heaven. You win. You win. You're going to live eternally somewhere anyway. We're eternal creatures. You're going to live eternally somewhere. Your spirit will never die. This mortal shell of a human body, it will eat away. But a spirit never dies. It'll live on and on in eternity. And in this life, if the sin of leprosy is plaguing you, spiritual leprosy, I'm speaking of sin, then you're not right with God, and it's a horrible life. It's an isolated life. It's a very lonely life. I don't care how many friends you have. I don't care how many parties you may go to. I used to try and do it that way. You can be the life of the party and be the loneliest person at the party. I've been there before. Are you right with God? Are you right with God? Do you know that your life is pleasing to Him? If your answer to that is, well, yeah, Pastor, I'm right with God because, you know, I try hard. All have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. That doesn't mean trying hard does not meet God's standard of perfection. Only one thing does. Faith in Jesus Christ and what He did at the cross, which will allow His precious Holy Spirit to come in and fill your life and make changes in your life that you can't make as a human being. I don't care how many books, how many counseling sessions, how many church programs you go through. It won't deliver you. It won't deliver you. It won't give you that wonderful feeling of things are right between me and God. I know they are. Because the Holy Spirit, hear me on this, the Holy Spirit will not give honor to any other method or system of being right with God other than Christ and Him crucified. The Holy Spirit will not flow through anything else. Hear me on that. I'm feeling Him telling me, bear down on this. That's why church programs will not work to deliver a person from depression. That's why pills won't work to deliver a person from depression. Because it's a spiritual problem. It's a sin problem. And medical science cannot solve a sin problem. But God has given the antidote in Jesus Christ. And you can know, leaving this building today, if you're not right with Him, if you're saying in your heart, now, Pastor, I'm not right with Him. But I sense there's a cry in souls here today that they're saying, I do want to be right with Him, though. I've given you the way. And it's not my way. If it was my idea on how to be right with him, it wouldn't be worth none of us sit here. We'd be just as well to go to the Cincinnati Bengals football game today and shout and scream over that. This is his way. When Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. He was talking about what he would do on the cross to make a way for us to be clean, for us to be perfect, for us to meet God's standard. And that's the only way it can be done. That's the only way it can be done, is through faith, trusting in Jesus, who he was and what he did on the cross. And when any individual does that, I don't care how sin-benighted you are. When a person comes to Christ, he says, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He's never turned a one away. Hallelujah. He's never turned his back on any lost sinner that's come to him and said, Jesus, will you help me? He reaches out with those nail-scarred hands of love and says, I've already helped you. Yes, I'll clean you. Yes, I'll deliver you. And because of your faith in me and what I did for you on the cross, as your high priest, I now call your name out before God my Father and the portals of glory. And I, as your high priest, call you clean, call you righteous, call you holy, and I adopt you as my very own. Glory to God. You can have that today, and that knowledge filling your heart and soul, and it will be the greatest thing that you could ever experience. Would everyone please stand? Your heads bowed, your eyes closed. And no one please move now in reverence to the Holy Spirit. I want to ask you again, are you right with God? Are you right with God? If you would say, Pastor, based on what you've told me today, I know I'm not right with him, but I want to be, and I feel the Holy Spirit telling me to tell you right now how much he loves you. He loved you enough to hang on that cross and to shed his blood as your substitute, as our sacrifice for sin. It should have been you and I on that cross, because we were the lawbreakers. We were the ones falling short of God's glory. But because he loved you so much, he hung on that cross so that it would be possible for you to be made right with God through faith alone. You can't earn it. You cannot earn this. You cannot be good enough through human effort to get what I'm talking about. It can only come by faith in Christ and what he did for you on the cross. That's how you're made right with God. That's how the spiritual leprosy is stopped. That's how the spiritual leper is declared clean and holy. By faith alone, by trusting exclusively in what Christ did for you at the cross. If you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, I'm not right with God, but I want to be right now, without hesitation, would you slip up a hand? I'm not right with God, but I want to be. Are there any at all? Any at all? I know that if I died today, I would step off into eternity not being right with God. I know that the life I'm living now is not pleasing to him, but I want it to be. I want it to be, and I promise you, we're not going to embarrass you and ask you a lot of questions or call you down front. Nobody's going to embarrass you. But you must first admit, part of coming to Christ is first admitting you need him and that he is your answer. Are there any at all who would say today, Lord Jesus, I'm not right with you. I'm not right with God the Father, but I want to be. I'm going to wait just a moment longer as I feel the Holy Spirit moving, and you may feel a little bit of embarrassment right now. What that is, that's the Holy Spirit telling you, whether you can identify it as such. I'm telling you what it is. That's the Holy Spirit telling you everything that preacher just told you is right. And I alone, through my blood, can make you right. That's what the Holy Spirit's telling you right now. And you know you're not right. And he is lovingly calling you and showing you, I provided a way to make you right. And he wants to do it for you, but he will not do it any other way than what I've outlined to you from the Word of God today. One last time, are there any who would say, I'm not right with God, Pastor, but I want to be? Right now, we're just going to lead you into prayer. Are there any at all? Any at all? Then I'm going to ask everyone who will, would you come and present yourselves at the altar of the Lord this morning? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.